Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Jason Williams, Sherry Coolidge, Silent Phil on the ones and twos. We come to you today.
Big guest.
Fresh. Oh.
The biggest, maybe.
Big guest. The controlling owner of FC Cincinnati. Fresh out of his stadium tour and talking to everyone about the stadium, he joins us here today on the podcast. We'll be pleased to welcome Carl Lindner III here momentarily. Sherry, you're smiling.
I mean, I spent a lot of time talking to him over the weekend. And, you know, we're getting ready for TQL Stadium to open. We talked to Carrie Byrne the other day on the podcast, maybe 2 weeks ago, about, you know, naming rights to this stadium.
Yeah.
It is here. In fact, I mean, I know Silent Phil's silent for a reason, but he and I, we spent, you know, a lot of time at the stadium on Saturday, kind of getting the lay of the land. There was an open house for West End residents. And it was, what do you think, Phil? Lush, green. Look, he's nodding his head.
He nods his head, folks. He's nodding his head. He's the silent partner in all this right now. So,
all right. So look for a lot more coverage to come on this. The Inquirer is putting out a special section on this stadium opening and everything it means to the city and how we got here. So, but that's not what we want to talk about right now.
Sherry, you're full of energy right now. We're coming to you right now. We're recording the morning after the Cincinnati primary election. I think we're just hyped up. Maybe still got the adrenaline running. Rushing. You got the coffee. I got the coffee. Let's break it down.
All right.
Half-tab Pure Ball, for those who maybe aren't aware, 39% wins first place in the primary. The second place finisher, a distant second with 29% of the total vote. David Mann, those two advance to November. Issue 3 goes down in flames, and I mean absolute flames.
But you knew the early vote at 7:30, it was cooked.
73-27, 46%. That thing goes down. And Sherry, I have a lot of going around in my head. I want to hear what you have to say. Here we are. I don't know. 12 hours
Honestly,
after putting our stories to bed.
I think the biggest shock. So two things about the mayor's race. So we're just going to say, you know, these newcomers, they should have run for council. Yeah. You don't come out of the gate and say, I'm going to be the mayor, when there are, you know, these three, you know, well-respected in the community, whatever your politics, you know, if you love them or you hate them, they have their bases, right? That was always going to be a juggernaut. And, you know, now, as a result, it's like this three-month campaign, we're not going to see Gavi Begtrup and his ideas because you can't run for council after you've run for mayor. We're not going to see Rafael Prophet, like some of the stuff I heard from being the city employee. You always, I said it during the Inquirer forum, it's like, you know, when you work in an organization, you have some thoughts about how it should be run. So I kind of liked, you know, what I was hearing there. Herman Nagioli, you know, super cares about this community, but, you know, could have run for council. All right, so now the top three. Aftab Pureval, I mean, I think one of the biggest shocks is how he performed in the black community. Of course, he was going to get some of those votes. That's not a surprise. The amount that he got was really stunning. It left Cecil Thomas, you know, just he was the head of the Human Relations Commission. His voice matters on issues in the black community. That is a true story.
And has been a popular
16.43% of the vote.
That was one that I think, if you're looking at big surprises, And Cecil Thomas, through his political career, after a long career, like you said, he was a Cincinnati police officer, then he was Human Relations Commission head of that, then went into politics, city council. He's been in the state senate. Every time he's been on the ballot, has been incredibly popular. And I mean, I can only think of him losing one time, and that was when he ran for county commissioner against Chris Monzel. I don't recall the year that was, but this was one that, I thought it would be. I just thought the top three there. I, felt like those, I think we all thought those were the three that were going to finish.
I thought that Cecil in the top would do three. Better.
I thought so too.
With those votes. This isn't the last time we'll hear of Cecil Thomas. It's not like, he's going to fade into the sunset. I'm interested to see what he's going to do next. He is term limited out of the state Senate, but there's some other paths forward. So, you know, we'll look at that. But you have to think that these voters who did choose AFTAB, these votes that went to Cecil, these votes that went to Rafael, they are going to fall in line probably for AFTAB.
Yep. And honestly, the votes that went for Gavi Begtrip, I think, will fall in line for AFTAB as well. Gavi really, I think, targeted a lot of the same folks that AFTAB would target.
I have to tell you, I interviewed David Mann last night.
Yeah.
In fact, I interviewed both candidates. You know, I heard AFTAB Hureval tell me that he, you know, is looking forward to the future of the city. And I heard David Mann say, this race starts right now. He was pointed in his comments. He did not give me some canned, I'm so thrilled to win. Thank you to my supporters. No. Sure, he felt that way. I think that was mixed in there. But what he said is it's on. And he said, I don't think AFTAB Hureval's, you know, resume is going to hold up. The claims he's making, he's going to hold up. I was like, who is this David Mann? So and AFTAB Hureval, then I think maybe he saw those comments. He's been a little tougher. He's having a press conference as we speak. So I think that this race really, it is on now.
Well, that was going to be my question to you is, do you think it is going to be a knockdown, drag out type of race that, you know, a bare knuckle fight.
If David Mann wants to win this race, yep. That's what we'll see.
That's exactly right. I wrote that in my column today on Cincinnati.com that, and as we sit here and, you know, the comments that he gave to you seem very un-David Mann-like.
You know, AFTAB Hureval has really, you know, you're kind of seeing out of his campaign, what has David done, like all of these many, you know, three decades. David Mann has done things. He's not one to toot his own horn. I'm interested to see if he's going
to
do that.
He's going to have to. He's going to have to.
He's going to do that. So
when you look at last night and you look, and Sherry, you've done it. I've done it. Our editors, Mark Wirt, God love him. Our investigative editor, our data editor, I mean, he thrives in moments like this because on the fly, he's digging in the data and helping us with our columns and stories. And when anywhere you look into that data and everywhere you look around this city last night, that was a dominant performance by AFTAB Hureval. And it is really difficult as I sit here today, barring David Mann shifting gears and being someone that he's really not been in his, at least, you know, recent political career, it's really hard to sit here and say that AFTAB's not the mayor in waiting. Now, again, this is a long way to go. David Mann is a highly respected politician.
It's not just
50
an opinion.
Years in this
what
town.
You're saying is based on the data that we saw last night.
I, you know, 50 years, he first kind of, I think he was put on a health board, I believe, in 1972. So almost really 50 years in the kind of political realm in this city. Like there's something to be said for that. However, he's not viewed as a John Cranley or a Steve Chabot. He's not viewed as a guy who's going to really pounce and hammer away on a opponent's weaknesses and exploit them the way those two politicians have. And I honestly, and you're right, Sherry, I think that's what it's going to take, though, is that David Mann has to have a scrappy underdog mentality in this race, much the same way John Cranley had against Roxanne Qualls in 2013 and against Yvette Simpson, even though he was the incumbent. Yvette winning that primary, you know, really shifted John Cranley into the underdog role again. He thrived in that role. I think that's the kind of mentality that David Mann has to have here.
I mean, David Mann has some big months coming up, and it'll be interesting to see how he uses these months. The stimulus monies, he's the budget chair.
Yeah.
That is
he's got a great
the
opportunity
most powerful
here.
Committee in City Hall because you're guiding all of the money. So much money. I mean, we're starting
so
today.
Much.
There's some stimulus spending on the budget. Look for a story on that by the time this podcast comes out. But so we're going to have stimulus. How are we going to get through the budget with this pandemic and the earnings tax and everything having to do with that. Then we're finishing that up, a little break in the summer, but I think we'll really see the mayor's race heat up over the summer break. He's going to come back so hard out of that gate, that anti-corruption task force that he put together is going to have its recommendations. That is going to be a do-or-die moment. Are those recommendations what citizens want to hear? I mean, we saw Tom Brinkman. This was the quiet story yesterday. Tom Brinkman, Mount Lookout, citizen. He was out at the polls with anti-corruption measures that I have been hearing throughout City Hall from Democrats, Republicans, the Charter Committee. He has 8 things. We could talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Because he was out gathering signatures to put this on the November ballot. So is he going to take the lead in this? Is a citizen going to have to take anti-corruption measures? Or is this anti-corruption task force going to be what it was promised to be? That is going to be a pivotal moment in what happens in this race, I do think.
Great stuff, Sherry. What I would love to see, speaking of, is the kind of robust effort that we saw from many different factions of our community come together the way they did to fight and defeat issue 3. A lot of the same groups and influencers came together around the bus levy last year, around preschool promise, around the 2-year terms, going back to 2-year terms in 2018. And so I'd like to see that same kind of effort around anti-corruption, and putting together and coming around a ballot measure that says, "We believe it needs to happen." Correct. We believe in this. We're putting our money behind this, and we're going to get this done. No more of this. Any other takeaways on this race? You'll be covering it.
You'll be covering it.
You'll be watchdogging it. I'll be columnizing on it. And
it's day one.
It's day one. And as you said, David Mann said, game on. Speaking of game on, I say we need to bring on FC Cincinnati controlling owner, Carl Lindner III. All right, special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast, and I'm not sure if we get any more Cincinnati than our guest today, and really, Sherry and I are just beaming right now with excitement to have our guest today, the CEO and managing partner of FC Cincinnati, ready to open that brand new stadium, Carl Lindner III. Mr. Lindner, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and just can't be more excited about the ribbon cutting and our first game coming up on May 16th. It's been an emotional day, just thinking about it, and a joyful day, and just so thankful, and coming through the pandemic and starting FC Cincinnati, with just so thankful for our community and our supporter fans and our sponsors and our owners, how everybody has, managed through this pandemic so well. And gosh, to think about Turner and Jostin, being able to work through this pandemic when, a lot of businesses were closed, and that to have this stadium being done pretty much on time is just miraculous.
Yeah. You talk about being emotional, and I know you and Sherry are, as we record here earlier today, you were over at the stadium, the newly named TQL Stadium, and you said you were emotional about today. What's going through your mind? What are the emotions that you are feeling as you did walk through the stadium this morning?
Joy. Being just joy and happiness and fulfillment and exhilaration and expectation, about what's to come, and thankfulness to God and all the Jeff Birding and our great employees and our great sponsors and our community, to our mayor, for everybody that's just made this miracle happen.
So when So I got to witness today, and by the time the podcast comes out, people will have seen the photo in the Inquirer, that, you know, you walked out on the pitch today to take this photo. Is being the CEO of FC Cincinnati and the controlling owner what you thought it was going to be?
Yes, I think it was. It's been fun, challenging, exhilarating. CEO, co-CEO of American Financial Group, as well as being involved with FC Cincinnati, never have managed through a pandemic before in my lifetime, as many of my peers and others in our community. So that was a extraordinary challenge.
Were there times when you thought that, you know, you might not be on time? And because this was always going to be the opening date, like spring of 2021. Did you feel like that there were some scary moments?
You know, I'm a glass half full, very optimistic, person. And there were a few challenges along the way. I frankly, was surprised that there weren't more. Like I said, the governor and our mayor, their support and allowing contractors and, construction to continue, within the state. That was so critical, to our stadium being on time and that. I am amazed when you look at the quality of the inside of the stadium and the furnishings, and to have all that be on time is just, it's miraculous.
It feels, I have to say, having walked around and taken tours, and we have shared a lot of this with our readers over time, it feels like a home inside the stadium. Like when they say there's clubs and lounges, it means clubs and lounges. It just doesn't mean a big room. What's your favorite part of the stadium?
Oh, wow. That's one of my favorite parts of the stadium is there in the Pitch View Club, the big patio that you you can walk out on and watch the game or just talk during the game and that. But probably one of my favorite things about the stadium is there's not a bad seat in the house. I've walked to the very top to the what most stadiums would be considered the worst seats, and I got to tell you, this stadium, in any seat, you just have a feel of being a part of the action close to the field, but as I mentioned earlier today, those overhangs and testing them out, during some of the rainy days, and the awesome LED fins. And it's just like digital art that can be changed day by day. It's so unique. It makes our stadium, I think, the most unique stadium in the world.
Mr. Linder, kind of going back, you announced the team was coming in August, almost 6 years ago, August of 2015, that you guys were taking on this endeavor of launching professional soccer in Cincinnati. Can you remember the first mention of a new stadium, the first conversation? Did you bring it up to someone? Did someone bring it up to you? Can you sort of take us back and set that scene of when that was the very first mention of it, if you can recall that? And what was the discussion like, and what was your reaction?
I think the first discussions we had were a few, we're a year or so into things when our MLS ambitions began to be possible and clear. We ran FC Cincinnati as if we were a major league team in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think it was a year or so in, when we were achieving good success and there were prospects of an MLS bid, with MLS requiring, you know, the expansion teams to have mainly soccer-specific stadiums. And that, I think that's, it was during those days that we began to think about that. We loved playing in Nippert. UC were great partners in that. At one time, we even explored whether, you know, there was a chance to upgrade Nippert and do something there. But we're so pleased being in the West End and being able to, through our foundation and through our involvement with the community there, just bring our team and our sport to a higher meaning and to having a higher impact on our community rather, you know, than just being a sports team, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think what is so impressive about what you and the Farmer family, the Joseph family, Jeff Birding, and so many of your partners in the team, so impressive about it is that you did something new. You did something big. You did something like visionary. And we're not really used to that a lot. And I mean, in Cincinnati, at least on this grand of a scale. And you said all along when you launched this, this was big league and you were getting to MLS. And do you just kind of recall, like, were there a lot of naysayers back when you really kind of cast this vision? Were you surprised by how many folks did embrace it? You know, sort of give your thoughts on that.
Oh, sure. There were lots of, you know, namesayers who had, you know, pointed out the, I forget whether it was four or five previous attempts in Cincinnati, you know, to start a professional soccer team. But nobody did it in the way that we did it, with the, you know, with the quality, the intentionality, and that, and with, you know, the support of our fans and our supporters. The biggest surprise, obviously, you know, we thought that, you know, Cincinnati was a soccer town, and Cincinnati is young, tech savvy, innovative, on the rise, you know, type of city with and that. So we thought that we would be embraced, but did we think that we were going to get the size of you know, attendance that we got right off the bat, and setting records in our the USL, and then, you know, even in our, I think our first year in MLS, you know, we had the third highest attendance. That's surprising. You know, it shouldn't have been, as an optimistic person, because Cincinnati is a community, you know, that always, you know, fights above its weight class and, you know, does things that surprises others. You know?
Jason and I agree with that. Tell us how you brought Cincinnati into the stadium. There do seem to be a lot of touches, the Rookwood flag. I think a lot of Cincinnati food seems like it's part of it. How did you bring Cincinnati, you know, to give people from somewhere else and tell the Cincinnati story?
I think you just said it, you know, starting with our name. And I just got my my new jersey. In that, and I think maybe last year and this year, you know, there's Junk to Jubon, you know, that I hope I got that right, but it's, you know, the city's motto, you know, is on the jersey. Right from the start, we wanted our name to be Cincinnati and be about Cincinnati in our community and, you know, represent, you know, our the dynamic city that we are, and no better place than to be one of the few stadiums to differentiate ourselves among MLS and the soccer world than to have our stadium right in the heart, you know, of the city's vibrant urban core and to be transformational, you know, in the West End neighborhood.
While we're on the topic of Cincinnati, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about asking you this. I asked you this, goodness, it was 3 years ago next month when you had the big event announcing MLS. at Rheingeist, and I remember you were gracious to sit down with us at the Inquirer and you know, our team of folks. I remember asking you this, and I wrote a story about it, but I want you to share it with our podcast listening audience. What would your dad say if he were here today about all this?
Oh, boy. Probably one of his favorite sayings was only in America. You know, he's famous for handing out, you know, the gold cufflinks to, you know, some of his close friends or business associates in his family. That would be one thing that would come to mind. Only in a great country and a great city, you know, could something like this happen. And again, I can't overstress how blessed I am with the quality of, you know, the partners like you know, Scott Farmer and George Joseph and Ken Oaks, you know, through now the TQL Stadium, and just so many, you know, great partners that have helped this dream come true for Cincinnati. Meg Whitman. Meg has gone beyond and, you know, the call of duty just in through this pandemic and helping us with potential sponsorship calls and potential additional partners in that. Meg Whitman is the largest, you know, shareholder, she and her family, you know, in FC Cincinnati. And Meg has been such a blessing and an encouragement to me and the team.
I want to ask you one more thing about your dad, and you know, he owned the Reds for several years, and if you were to have had a conversation with him while you were thinking about this soccer endeavor and launching FC Cincinnati, and what advice do you think he would have given you, with the context of him having owned a professional sports team?
Probably, he would, first of all, probably not being a soccer, you know, dad or a soccer person, he would probably, as a business executive, you know, put me through the 21 questions on why this is a good idea, in that. But then I think he would, you know, I think he would be, you know, loving, encouraging, supportive, my guess is he would have been, you know, one of my key investors, you know, if he were here today. He's always been so encouraging and supporting to all of his sons, you know, and in any of their endeavors.
Was that one of his business, like a 20, was that like a business strategy he had, or 21 questions, or that he would ask?
Oh, my dad was just, you know, very, very thorough, you know, type of, you know, business, entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But also entrepreneur. He was, kind of a calculated risk taker, kind of like I am. And,
Do you see, FC Cincinnati as a family business that will be passed down through the generations?
That's certainly, my hope, but not just my family, as I mentioned, but I've always been a believer that entities and businesses and things are stronger, you know, when you have, particularly a sports team, when you have, you know, an ownership structure or buy-in, you know, from lots of key leaders, you know, within the community and that. And I think clearly, you know, one of our strong points is the buy-in, you know, and the diverse group, the wide group of partners we have, the wide group of sponsors that we have, companies that have stepped up, you know, and from day one and have helped us and are helping us now. What's been great is just, you know, this community, the business community or supporters, everyone coming together to be able to make this happen. So I look at it as a, you know, my family is, you know, we're the controlling owners, managing owners, but the beauty is, you know, we're a community team. We're FC Cincinnati, as I mentioned before, and we certainly have a wide representative of Cincinnati helping propel us.
Were you a bit, before you launched into this, were you, had you been a big soccer fan all for several years, or?
I had gained an appreciation for soccer, you know, through my middle son Christopher, you know, played at a pretty high level in high school, and my son-in-law David Thompson also played in high school and in Europe and in college, and so kind of really enjoyed getting to know more about the sport and enjoying it through, you know, my family. And always kept an eye on the trajectory of professional soccer. I mean, soccer is the world sport. You know, the fun of this sport is you know, we have players from all over the world. Almost every country in the world has soccer. It's truly the world sport. And I think for, you know, when you look at the younger generations in that, soccer is played in under 2 hours, including the, you know, a 15-minute break usually. And I think that fits the lifestyle of where, you know, our citizens are at, you know, these days. So
how are you during a match? Are you on pins and needles with every second of the clock, every header, every kick of the ball, are you relax. I've been to several matches. I've seen you pop up around the stadium in the different seats I've been in. I've, you know, multiple times I've seen you, you know, move around the stadium. Are you just a ball of stress, or are you pretty relaxed?
I'm pretty relaxed. I enjoy taking in the whole experience. You know, it's not just what's going on in the field. It's, you know, the friends or fans, you know, around that, you know, I get a chance to see and talk to, and family, and that, the whole experience. And I think in this new stadium, we're going to have such a fun experience. We're hoping that, you know, people want to hang out before and after and enjoy the whole experience, you know, that's there. My wife Martha, she's the one that doesn't want to get distracted too much, and, you know, will tell me, you know, I just want to watch the game. So, you know, she's the one on pins and needles. And earlier today, and talking to Sherry, I said, you know, one of the biggest supporter fans is my wife, and, you know, when we lose or whatever, I know about it.
She takes the losses hard.
She does.
How about you?
I'm used to everybody goes through, you know, times when, you know, the challenges or things, whether, you know, when you have losses in life and that, but I'm thankful to God that I've been able to learn and grow and build out of those times, and you know, but we want to win. You know, we want a winning team, and that's what we're working towards.
You said earlier today that you have, you know, some internal metrics about what that looks like for you.
You know, I'm sure, you know, Jeff and Yop and, you know, others would, you know, they definitely have lots of metrics in that, but clearly, you know, we want to work towards, you know, being a winning team, having a winning season, making the playoffs. If this team comes together and melds together and, you know, everybody's healthy, you know, that's what our objectives are in that.
Fun last question. You're at a match. What is your favorite thing to eat and drink while you're watching a match? What are your must haves when you're at the stadium?
Well, Well, you'd be better off asking me that after we've had a few games in the new stadium.
Well, there's a whole new thing of concessions.
In the old stadium, it was nippered. It was pretzels, the soft pretzels, and that probably would have been my favorite thing with a little bit of beer cheese, that I look forward to.
The new stadium, though, it's a little elevated. It has a professional
professional
chef kind of guiding all of the things, and there's a lot of options.
Executive chef, George Zappas came from a AAA five diamond restaurant, there's going to be such a great food and beverage experience that, again, I think people are going to want to come early and stay late and it just, take it all in. I think I've been told we're going to have like 166 draft beer taps, which would probably be one of the most in any MLS stadium. Lots of local flavor to it also, so which is fun.
You're not at an FC Cincinnati match. What is your absolute favorite thing to do for fun around Cincinnati?
Before or after, or are you talking?
I'm just saying, like, besides going to an FC Cincinnati match, so take FC Cincinnati out of it. What's something else you just absolutely love to do in Cincinnati? Your hometown.
Yeah, there's so many great restaurants all throughout downtown now that I love to come downtown and go to one of the restaurants and take in that particular area of the community. I really enjoyed Blink. I think that was an exciting event. Look forward to that happening again. It was so much fun to see every nook and cranny of Cincinnati, with families, walking around enjoying that event.
Yeah.
Now I think we're going to have the biggest blank exhibit of all. every day, but I haven't had a chance to ask Jeff, are we going to do something special, for when blank happens again? I guess we could do something pretty incredible.
Absolutely. That stadium is incredible. When I was just driving down 75, you look over and it's truly amazing to see like how massive it is. And because I think back to, the Taft football stadium and it was a decent sized high school stadium. And you're thinking, oh, they're going to put a soccer stadium there. And then you look at this and it's this massive.
The new Taft Stadium, which was, invested in by FC Cincinnati, is beautiful. When you go over there, you do see it. It is a really nice sports stadium.
It is. It's exciting, to see that work out so well, too.
Mr. Linder, congratulations on the new stadium, on your success around this whole project, and you and your partners. As we talked about here today, and to your entire organization as well, and Jeff Birding, and just really wish you all the best as the new era begins in TQL Stadium. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Thanks again to Mr. Linder. You can tell he is fired up and ready to get this thing officially opened.
With some emotion, too.
Yeah.
It means a lot to him. I think he put a lot into this.
He sure did. He sure did, Sherry. And I find it, the stuff about his dad, I'm just really fascinated in just his dad and his dad's life and what he did in Cincinnati and I just think it's interesting to think what he would think if he were here today about this new stadium. And anyway, that's You don't get much more Cincinnati than our last guest. That's but we true. Are shifting into our That's a Cincinnati moment of the week. I'm not sure. I don't know if this is a moment or – well, it is a moment. I don't know if it's so Cincinnati, but I'm at Station Barbecue in Wyoming last Friday night. I sit down with a buddy, and the owner, Kelly, comes by, and we're talking, and she's just, you know, jumping from table to table. And my friend tells her what I do, because I don't usually say what I do or whatever. And she's like, oh, do you know anything about this That's a Cincinnati podcast? I was like, as a matter of fact, I co-host that with our City Hall reporter, Sherry Coolidge. And she's like, oh, so-and-so, I didn't recognize the guy's name, was in earlier talking about how you guys talked about Station on the podcast last week. And if for those loyal listeners who may recall, Nan Whaley, whose parents live in Wyoming, talked about going to Station and how much she loves that. And so a listener heard that and told the owner and the team at Station about hearing about it on the podcast. And it made me think the podcast has impact, and we appreciate you listening. And we ask for all of our listeners to feel free to share when they hear things on the podcast.
Absolutely.
About if we talk about restaurants or shops or something like that, and you happen to be in there, let folks know about it. That's what, you know, we're having fun here.
It is. It's one of my favorite moments of the week. You know, there's so much about City Hall all the time. And of course, I talk about it on here. But this is a time just to sit down with you, talk about things. Yeah. And it's not, you know, someone call, like we're talking and somebody calls and interrupts us. And like, I love our chats together.
Me too.
I miss you, like working from home mostly. But
well, that was great being back in the office last night. I don't want to start. But, you know,
we did. We were super social distance. There was a lot of yelling last night. It's my voice hoarse because we were yelling across the newsroom. But that's a newsroom thing, too. So I kind of like enjoyed that. It's like,
and we had La Rosa's as our election night.
Election night pizza is a thing. I almost just got a salad and I was like, no, it's election night.
What did you? I got a calzone.
Me, too, because we had to do these individual orders.
Thanks to Nick La Rosa, who recommended the calzones after hearing me on a podcast episode. Speaking of So Cincinnati, say I wasn't really fond of La Rosa's pizza, but then he recommended the calzones, and ever since, I absolutely love the calzones, so that's what I get when I go to La Rosa's, and it's fantastic. I actually like their wings, too.
Politics editor Carl Weiser introduced me to, they have a dessert. Like, I never, like, think of dessert when you're ordering pizza, whatever, for Jack, or they have a cannoli dessert.
Oh, really?
Yes, there's a lot of exclaiming.
Is it fantastic?
I did not have any of it, but he was enjoying it. I didn't know that existed.
Of course, so. Carl ordered that.
So, yep. So we, election night pizza. Are we back to normal, Jason?
We're getting there.
I'm going to council today.
We are getting there. I got my second vax. I went through with it. I took the risk.
Oh.
Got my second vax Monday morning. And
you seem like yourself.
I didn't get sick or anything. I was just literally, I literally slept all day yesterday during election day.
True. I didn't talk to you yesterday.
So it hit me about 24 hours later, and I didn't feel bad. I just felt like I pulled two all-nighters in a row, and I was just super tired. Slept for like 4 hours and 4 or 5 hours.
All right. Let's do this then, Jason.
And I'm rolling now, so. Check our election follow-ups.
Day one. It's day one.
Sherry's stuff on the new stadium. Special section coming out. Our subscriptions, folks. Let people know about our subscriptions. Get a digital subscription. Cincinnati.com/subscribe. For those of you who read us on Sundays, you'll notice we have an expanded Sunday print section. I tend to like the subscription package that gives you all access digital. And you get the Sunday print as like your sort of thing you can sit down with on the front porch on a nice spring morning with a cup of coffee and enjoy the birds chirping, read about politics, read about sports. This week you're going to read Sherry's big story on Mr. Lindner and the journey to FC Cincinnati's new stadium. So really looking forward to that piece on 1A this Sunday Inquirer. We'll catch you next week. Thanks.